Chapter 18. The Year of Dwarvenkind Reborn, Dale Reckoning 1488. The Reality of Perception.
"Are you mad?" Gamoriel replied to Jarlaxle after the mercenary leader's latest seemingly preposterous request.
Jarlaxle moved as if to respond, but Gamoriel held up his hand and shook his head.
"Bother not with the words," the psionicist said. "I already know that answer."
"Truly, you wound me, my friend."
"I wound you, but you're to get me killed beyond doubt," said Gamoriel.
"Kromph is not going to kill you," Jarlaxle assured him. "After feeling the power of the illithid hive flowing through him to destroy Demogorgon, he is more likely to cast enchantments of love upon you than to lob fireballs your way."
"Thrilling," Gamoriel dryly replied.
"He would give you a room at the host tower."
"To be surrounded by insipid wizards and their limitations?" Jarlaxle sighed in surrender.
"My comment is not about Gromph in any case," said Gamoriel. "This game you ask me to play now, I fear, is with a creature more dangerous than the former Archmage, and one with less to gain by keeping me alive."
"Perhaps, but it is critical, or I would not ask. Ivanel is much more than she appears, and her hand in all of this is larger than we understand. My instincts scream this to me, and I have learned to listen to them."
"You think her a handmaiden in disguise?" Gamoriel asked.
Jarlaxle arched his eyebrows.
"More."
It took a moment for that to sink into the psionicist.
"Loth?" he cried. "You think Ivanel a manifestation of Lady Loth herself? You would have me spy upon Loth? Are you mad?"
"To answer your last question, I will be honest. Possibly. As for the first, I simply do not know," Jarlaxle admitted. "But as pertains to the second, I think we must try to know, don't you?"
Gamoriel replied.
"I think we should move to the far ends of Faerûn."
"But it is just an illusion," Drizzt said. Ivanel smiled coyly.
"I thought you would enjoy them."
To accentuate, she batted them, her eyes, which were now violet in hue, much like Drizzt's own, an aberration incredibly rare among the drow.
"They are beautiful," Drizzt admitted.
"Everything about you is beautiful to anyone who looks upon you. That is your game, is it not? You maintain a magical illusion to let the viewer see what most pleases him or her when looking upon you."
"No," she said, "no more. At one time I played that game, as I willingly admitted to you. It was indeed a conscious manipulation. Those looking upon me couldn't help but treat me a bit better than they would another more mundane and, to them, less attractive person. I played on perception for advantage."
"That is dishonest."
"Is it? Do you not play upon your reputation for advantage? Does it not aid you when your opponents know that they are in battle with a legendary swordsman? Or even just being a drow? Certainly it holds great disadvantages in some areas. But do you not think that many of Jarlaxle's business partners take greater care because of his skin, and because of their fear of what retribution might mean?"
Drizzt fumbled for a response, then blurted,
"This is different."
"No, it's not," Ivanel insisted.
"Are there not nights when Catti Bree puts on special clothes, or wears her hair just so? Do you not do the same?"
"This is simply how I choose to appear, and to appear to all. No more is there a malleable illusion from viewer to viewer."
"But is it your natural appearance?
Does that matter?"
Driz started to answer, but he knew he was caught here, and so he just shrugged.
"People sculpt their bodies, style their hair, choose their clothes, paint their faces, everything, to shape their appearance. I have done nothing different."
She flashed that coy smile again.
"I just have better tools."
Driz laughed despite himself. He wanted to find some pedestal upon which to make a stand, but there was none.
He thought of his own vanity, of how he worked his muscles so tirelessly, each and every morning. Yes, most of that was practical and came from a drive to be the perfect swordsman, so that he could use his skills to the greater good. All of that was true. Yet so was his personal pleasure in sculpting those lean muscles. How many times had he caught Catty Bree spying on him during his morning routines? And how hard had it been to keep the grin off his face when he knew that she was there watching from behind a shrub? "I struggled with this greatly in the recent past," Drizzt reminded her, referring to the affliction he had suffered that had blurred the line between reality and illusion, an illness of the mind wrought by the thinning of the Phaerseris in the Underdark. "This was your madness," Ivanel agreed. "Where did perception end and reality begin? You could not tell, and so you could not trust that anything around you, even those you loved, was real. And yet, even if they were not real, the illusion, the perception that I had that these were indeed my friends, made them real to me. I lay with Catty Bree, in my mind, in my heart."
"Perception is reality, Drizzt Do'Urden," Ivanel stated.
"There is no objective truth?"
"Of course there is.
But until a falsehood is uncovered, the reality is what you perceive it to be. You cannot separate the two without a reveal. That you tried to do so was your madness."
Drizzt considered that for a few heartbeats, then laughed. "Are you warning me, lady?"
"No," Ivanel said. And Drizzt could detect no insincerity there.
"And now I tell you that Zaknafane is real. He is the same man who sacrificed himself so that you could walk from Menzo Berenzon. Then again when he was sent as an undead monster to kill you. The conscious being inhabiting that drow coil is Zaknafane, your father."
Drizzt nodded for a long while, replaying all of Ivanel's contributions to this unexpected conversation in Bleeding Vines. He stopped, finally, and stared at the woman.
"I like your eyes," he admitted, and Ivanel smiled.
"Can you tell?" Kimuriel asked Jarlaxle, who peered through his magical eyepatch to gain a true vision of the woman in the psionicist's scrying mirror. The two were in a private room in Twelve Hands, a tavern, inn, and stable in the halfling town of Bleeding Vines. "No magic," he said, shaking his head and seeming quite confused by that. "This is how Ivanel now appears, her true image."
"But one altered by magic, as she admitted regarding her eyes," said Kimuriel. This elicited another shrug from his companion.
"She chose her appearance and made it so. But at least the continual illusion, showing different things to different onlookers, is no more."
"You think that important?"
Jarlaxle paused, but then nodded. "I do not know why," he admitted. "But now she seems to me more true, more real, more
mortal?"
"Yes. Perhaps that is the best word for it. And it makes sense given her decision to leave Menzo Berenzon and come to this place. In Menzo Berenzon, she could have become the Matron Mother. After she saved the city from Demogorgon, none, certainly not that pathetic Quenthal, would have dared stand against her. She could have lived as a goddess, yet here she stands with us." Gamoriel didn't argue the point. He glanced back over his shoulder, then nodded his chin to draw Jarlaxle's attention to the image.
"She leaves him," the psionicist said.
Jarlaxle tipped his cap in appreciation of Kimuriel's extraordinary powers. "We would do well to learn the maneuvers of the drow houses regarding all of this," Jarlaxle stated.
"Isn't that why you sent Zaknafane?"
"To better learn of House Hunsrin's dealings in Waterdeep, yes. But I wonder now if this is more than coincidence that brings them to our particular region at this particular time."
"The great powers of Menzo Berenzon would not come back at this time, not after the confrontation between Drizzt and the Avatar of Lolth in the tunnels of the Bloodstone Lands, and surely not after the destruction of Demogorgon through the instrument of Drizzt in full view of the entire city. They just let Drizzt go,
They're not going to come after him now. And if they were, wouldn't they just use this Evenel creature to get what they want?
It's more complicated than that.
Isn't it always? Kimuriel asked dryly.
Just the way Lolf likes it, Jarlaxle said. And yes, you're correct, that the city would not come forth at this time. But there are opportunistic matrons looking for advantage, always. With all that has happened, with Drizzt, with Zaknafane, with our own growing alliances here, some might see a chance for advancement.
Not Baenri, said Kimuriel. Not now, in the way you fear, at least. Evenel is Baenri, as is Gromf, and he visits—
You know of whom I speak, Jarlaxel interrupted. And so you know your next task.
Task? You address me as if I am in your thrall.
Not thrall. But we can agree that you have a meeting, yes?
A Shalom Elarn, Kimuriel conceded.
She is to convene with Matron Zirith Doerden soon, I am told, to determine if the former relationship between House Melarn and House Zorlaren, which is now House Doerden, is beyond repair.
I will find her in a quiet corridor after she sits with Matron Zirith.
In a space where she cannot be detected, Jarlaxle corrected. In a dimension of your own making where no others can possibly hear. It is that important.
Kimuriel nodded.
I will inquire of Ashala in extreme privacy.
Jarlaxle tipped his cap again and rushed out of the tavern. He caught up to Evenel outside Drizzt's small house in the courtyard of Regis and Dinala's villa.
How went your seduction? He asked, approaching.
Evenel tilted her head and stared at him curiously.
That is what all of this is about, is it not? He pressed, falling into step beside the undeniably beautiful young drow woman.
All of what?
Well, now your appearance, those eyes.
I'll not deny the symbolism of my choice.
Or that they would please Drizzt, Jarlaxle slyly remarked.
Evenel chuckled and offered a coy shrug.
And the return of Zaknafane? Jarlaxle asked, his voice suddenly low and serious.
What of it? Evenel replied, seeming genuinely surprised.
But of course, she was very good at that kind of misdirection, so much like her namesake, Jarlaxle's mother. Did that not please Drizzt?
Don't dance, uncle, said the daughter of Gromf, and Jarlaxle stiffened at the open acknowledgment of their familial connection.
Very well, then, you brought him back to life.
Evenel scoffed.
I know not how you did it, but you did. And this all seems a winding game to seduce Drizzt, he accused. You heard Drizzt tell Lolf that if she was worth his worship, she would have returned Zaknafane without being asked.
He stared at her hard and reminded her.
You weren't asked.
You think I want Drizzt to worship me?
To love you, then?
Evenel shrugged, but didn't shake her head to deny it.
A dark elf lives a long life. A human, not so long. Less long if she is killed by an enemy.
Evenel stopped and turned to face Jarlaxle directly, and when he turned to square up, she slapped him across the face.
I am not Catibri's enemy, and she is not mine, she said through gritted teeth. I would not take the wife, the love, from Drizzt, even if she were.
But you won't deny that he intrigues you.
I won't.
It was so simply admitted, without the slightest hesitation or shame.
And so Zaknafane's return, Jarlaxle reasoned.
You keep saying that, but I know that you have no evidence, because none exists, she shrugged again. Zaknafane has returned through divine intervention, it would seem, and I am no deity. Look to Mialiki, who returned to Drizzt his companions of the hall.
That was planned by Mialiki from the beginning.
Then look to Lolf, Evenel said, though Mialiki could still be the catalyst.
Why? Jarlaxle asked, truly at a loss. Do you believe the nonsense that Drizzt will change her? That's what you told me when you announced the return of Zaknafane, yes?
The Driz thinks he can change Lolth. Is that... Perhaps the gods are gods because they can better see into the future, to understand the ramifications of the actions of the present, Evenel interrupted. And thus, they do not err for short-sightedness. I thought much on this. I am uniquely equipped for this particular question, I believe. And it seems reasonable to me that Lolth understands the inevitability of our revolution, Jarlaxle, and understands that she cannot stop it.
Inevitability? Jarlaxle said with a snort. I wish I shared your confidence.
The changes in Menzo Berenzon have begun. They will be there ever, whether they move forward now or not. Lolth knows this, and knows, too, that your role in it has been enormous.
Please don't say that to anyone, Jarlaxle said, and he was only partially joking.
The last thing he wanted was to see his own reflection in the spider eyes of Lady Lolth. Your city of Luskin is a grave threat to the old order, Evenel said. The most powerful word in the Drow language is Iblith. Denigration of races who are different, of the other, is central to Drow arrogance, and Drow arrogance is rooted in the power and cruelty of the Spider Queen. But consider what you have accomplished in the City of Sails, Jarlaxle.
I control it from the shadows, through a Drow High Captain who masquerades as a human, Jarlaxle protested. That is no new trick for emissaries from Menzo Berenzon.
Evenel laughed at him. You are speaking of the past. In Luskin, the Drow mingle openly with the surface dwellers, even powerful ones. In the new host tower of the Arcane, Gromph Banry, the former archmage of Menzo Berenzon, studies beside Penelope Harpel and Netherese lords and wizards and sorcerers of great power from other races. The only one who thinks Beniago's disguise as High Captain Kurth remains intact is you, apparently. All of King Brunner's court and most of his city know the true power of Luskin, as do the halflings of this fine village.
And so? What grave threat,
because Lolth knows, as do you, that familiarity does not breed contempt among the reasoning races. Nay, it erases prejudice. Drith Do'Urden's greatest heresy was not that he walked out of Menzo Berenzon, but rather that he made himself welcome in Silvery Moon and Waterdeep. That is the threat to her. How does she keep her minions of the Underdark satisfied if there is a world accessible to them that isn't darkness and hatred and bloodshed?
She didn't kill Drizzt, Jarlaxle reminded. An easy fix.
Not so easy, no. Because she knew what that would bring. The symbol of Drizzt Do'Urden would become more powerful in martyrdom. She didn't kill Drizzt because she feared the consequences.
So she returned, Zachnefane?
Evenel shrugged again, wearing an expression of helpless bewilderment, and Jarlaxle could only nod and try to sort it out. If indeed it was Lolth who had returned Zachnefane to Drizzt, was this the goddess's way of admitting the inevitable? Of trying to hold on to her supporters, for what is a god without worshippers, in a preemptive strike of kindness and contrition?
It cannot be, he blurted, his mind unable to make that leap.
But it surely seems to be, said Evenel, especially to me, and I think I am a better judge of this particular situation than you are. That set Jarlaxle back on his heels, for he prided himself on his ability to evaluate and understand the rhythms of the world around him. Evenel just shrugged yet again against that look of astonishment. I have come to see time itself in a different manner, she explained, and she offered a self-deprecating chuckle. My memories are older than my body, and my consciousness by millennia. You cannot understand what that means, my uncle.
I am not unversed in the past, and not so young, he replied. Remember, I knew the person those memories came from. I share some of them.
It is not the same, not remotely. These are not simple tales told to me in the songs of a bard, even if those words all rang true. Nay, these are not just memories of a distant past either. They are the experiences of a distant past that have become new memories to me, as if the events of 1,000 years ago are only a few years removed from now.
I can look back to Matron Mother Bayenry's earliest fights and feel the wounds and smell the blood, she continued. And suddenly, Evenhel seemed to be talking as much to herself as to Jarl Axel, as if her epiphany was finally playing out before her. They're not merely memories. I can look back at Bayenry's lovemaking and live it in my mind as vividly as if it had been me riding a partner and not my namesake. Vividly. I know, I experience every feeling, even the great release, that Bayenry found in those encounters. And not as if I am a voyeur to the scene, do you understand?
I'm not sure I want to.
I know more than what she saw or what she felt, Evenhel tried to explain. I know, too, every conjured image, every exciting thought in Bayenry's mind when she drove herself to sexual ecstasy. I wish I did not, but...
Jarl Axel was almost at a loss for words. Did the Illithid put more into your mind than just the memories of Matron Mother Bayenry? Are you possessed, do you fear? Perhaps Kimoriel?
No, it is not a possession, and not a haunting, Evenhel calmly replied. In the end, and despite the insult to certain sensibilities, it is a gift. With thousands of years of experiences to draw upon, experiences that seem so fresh to me, I feel that I will be granted from this a measure of foresight beyond anyone. Older people are considered wiser because they have seen the outcomes in similar situations, and so the intimacy of Evenhel the Eternal's imparted memories, feelings, revelations, and experience have given to me her wisdom.
Is that why you can so patiently wait to see if Drizzt becomes available to you? Evenhel laughed, and Jarl Axel joined her. It seemed such a trite example of the horizon she might know. Yet Jarl Axel joined her in that laughter because he recognized the sincerity behind it. He understood that Evenhel was formidable in more than magic. In diplomacy and in deception, this was a dangerous woman. And yet this explanation, this line of reasoning, resonated as very convincing to Jarl Axel. It all fit. Somehow, it all seemed to click into Jarl Axel's wider understanding of the world. There was indeed a consistency in this incredibly unusual circumstance of Evenhel. He wasn't sure whether he believed her stated ignorance about Zaknafane's return, wasn't even certain that she had not facilitated that event. But somehow, it didn't matter to him.